You about ready? Because here we go. Time for another BBS radio show. A place where you can learn, think, and grow. I'll keep you in the know. You'll live life like a pro. This I know, because I learned it from my folks and my big bro. This is Marty Ford coming to you live from the beautiful basement at Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonchawa Station with the soliloquy of stuff and a show really about nothing, but when you break it down, there's something for everyone if you just have a little patience and listen for the next hour or so. This is our third show in the series, and I think we've done some good things in getting words out there, messages, and we're just looking for some feedback. If at any time during the show you care to give us some feedback, you can call the station at 888-BBS-RADIO, 888-627-6008. BBS Radio at 888-627-6008. You can also email me at hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. So much for the commercial, and we'll repeat it later on, hopefully, if I remember, because, you know, I tend never to remember anything I forget, and of course I forget everything I don't remember. So that happened the first week, and it actually happened last week as well, because I gave out the brain buster little gimmick that we use in the beginning to get our brains thinking and do some critical thinking. And the question I posed was, Bobby's mother has three children, Nickel, Dime, and Blank. And I didn't give the answer, and I forgot to do that, because I guess I get caught up in the heat of the show, and I forget to take care of the little things. But you have to take care of the little things, or else the big things don't come your way. So I apologize if anybody out there, few that you may be, one would be nice, have been waiting a week to find out the answer to this great riddle that Bobby's mother has three children, Nickel, Dime, and most people say Penny, Quarter. If I change it around, Bobby's mother has three children, Apple, Orange, they say Banana, or Pear, or Peach, or something. But the reality is, the answers of life and the answers to these riddles are always in front of you. You just have to look for them, like opportunities that come your way all the time. You have to pick out and choose the ones that are right for you. Bobby's mother has three children, Nickel, Dime, and Bobby. Bobby's mother has three children, Nickel, Dime, and Bobby. I'm sure someone out there knows a family that has three kids. Maybe not necessarily named Bobby, but if you played this little riddle with them, you see how their thinking is going. You can tell a lot about someone who wants to take some time to actually pursue these silly things. This week, I thought I'd give you a rather easy one, if I can remember it, to give you the answer at the end of the show. That would be nice, too. This week's little critical thinking brain buster riddle is, what goes up when the rain comes down? What goes up when the rain comes down? We'll get back to that later in the show. If I remember, I'll make a note of it, and we hope to get to you the answer later tonight. Now, a thought for the day. We want to add a couple segments to the show. One is a thought for the day. The other could be tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. And believe me, I do have a vast warehouse and storage facility of useless information. I probably will offer one tonight. But the first thought of the day happened to me 30 or 35 years ago when I was before a town zoning board, and I was working with a real estate company trying to get some approvals to build some houses, a small little parcel of land, two or three houses. And the argument against this went on, and we were prepared and had plans, and we did all the things right, and eventually we did get the approval. But during this two-year term or three-year term of trying to obtain all the requisite government agency approvals so we could build, get a building permit, I often heard the opposition during their delivery say something like this. Well, sir, I've listened and I've read all the documents in front of me, listened to the developer make his point, and to be perfectly honest with you, and the first time I heard it, like a buzzer went off in my head, whoa. This guy, who was an attorney representing people who were not in favor of our project for good reason, and because they didn't want to have their vacant lot disturbed, even though we owned it, I wanted to take advantage of its use. And he said, to be perfectly honest with you, I sort of called a timeout with the people I was with, and I said, listen, let's use this in our favor in a nice, subtle, discreet, professional way. Because when someone says to you, let me be perfectly honest with you, that almost not implies or infers, it almost mandates that everything they've said prior to that statement is a lie or false or a non-truth or a misspoken word. So if I sit here and say, you know, I'm talking to you over BBS radio, and I say, well, let me be honest with you. Well, you have to say you have to think that everything I've said prior to that statement, let me be honest with you, or let me be perfectly honest with you, whatever they say, has an opportunity to be a falsehood and not believable. Therefore, my credibility, my reputation, and so forth can be tarnished. So be careful. Listen more than you speak. We have two ears and one mouth. Therefore, we should listen twice as much as we talk. So let me be perfectly honest with you. I hope it doesn't come into your world. And if you use it, be aware of it. And maybe if the people you're speaking to or with or doing business with or having a conversation with and so forth, maybe if they have developed critical thinking skills high enough and they know that Bobby's mother has three children, Nickel, Dime, and Bobby, and they know that you can only walk halfway into the woods because then you're going to be walking out of the woods once you reach the point of no return halfway, then you might be subjecting yourself to some either criticism or ridicule or defeat in whatever you're trying to accomplish. So be aware of what comes out of our mouth, because in today's society, our culture is not doing that. We as a people are not paying attention as to what's coming out of our mouth. Three signs that a society is about to fail, we're on the verge of it. First and foremost is the fact that we don't respect what comes out of our mouth. And language and profanity, obscenities, inappropriate stuff. I'm no saint. We all have been in the locker rooms. We've all been on the street corners. We've all been at the parks. We've all yelled and screamed and cursed and all that stuff. But when it becomes a norm, and when we're bombarding our youth and the kids who we're supposed to be positively role modeling for, and we just give them a barrage of images and sounds and words that maybe aren't in their best interest, especially at a young age, through various forms of entertainment and screens, then what are we really doing? So I did an experiment one time. I was working in a school, and the kids were really cursing a lot, high school age type kids. And so I did a little experiment because the community at large wanted to do something about the profanities being said by the kids. And so I just kept a little piece of paper with every kid's name, and I had about 8 kids in the class, 10 kids. And every time they would use what I would consider an inappropriate word for a school environment or in society and public in general, I would put a little mark. And at the end of the period, I would say, yo, Mary, you had 12. Billy, you had 16. Joey, you had 21. Frank, 39. Damn! Holy shoot! I said, whoa, now you got 40. And they weren't aware. They weren't cognizant for all the smart folks out there. I can use a big word once in a while. I've learned over the years. They weren't aware of what was coming out of their mouth. And so they just kept rambling and rambling. And you see that all over. I mean, WTF is a norm. Way back, I think it was in the 60s, I think there was one of those situation comedy shows on TV and sponsored by all the big names back then. You know, the soda and the cleaning detergent and the toothpaste folks and all that, cars. And they said, hell and damn. And the nation was aghast. Oh, my goodness. You know, newspapers were printing the stories next day. People were boycotting the products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now, hell and damn are part of our everyday vernacular and lexicon and word usage. And we don't even think anything of it. Not a wicked, evil thing. But just think, it always starts somewhere. And then everything else gets desensitized where you're in someone's face, get a little heated, a little emotional, push turns to shove, language comes out, people get upset, boom, frustrated, and then all kinds of things that happen that really could have been prevented or avoided had we maintained a little bit more composure and dignity with our language. I am not proper. I say ain't. You know, I use double negative. I'm the worst, and I have a sort of certification in English. But the reality is there's a time and a place for everything. So one of the three things is language is deteriorating. It's down in the sewer. Just look at TV or movies or anything else. The other thing is the gap between the haves and the have-nots is getting greater and greater, and we still have millions and millions of kids going to bed hungry because there's not enough funding for food in any capacity. I know someone who works in a very rural area of the country, remote actually, and they work with one of the sports teams, and they were asking the coaching staff, and they said, well, don't they get lunch? Well, I said, and the coach told the person, they said, listen, down here, these kids have to make a choice between breakfast and lunch. They get one, they don't get both. Sometimes they provide it at school. You know, the families, the booster clubs, whatever they have over there, can provide a meal or some kind of sustenance to get them through a practice so they don't dehydrate and not malnutrition, but just lack of energy and so forth. So we have a lot of that. The gap between the haves and the have-nots is getting greater and greater, even though we have many programs in which resources are provided. It's just getting bigger and bigger, and that's a second sign that things are going to happen. The third thing is lack of trust of leadership. And leadership is a big thing, and that's part of one of the topics I want to throw out tonight. Because in the past couple of weeks, we've talked about empowerment, and everything that I put out there is based on empowerment, being able to accomplish more than you ever thought possible, empowering yourself via any vehicle or method, education, relationships, connections, contacts, hard work, hard work, hard work, sacrifice, 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 anything you can do to become empowered and not dependent on anyone but yourself. And it's all possible to do. Sometimes we just need a little boost in getting there. So we've had empowerment as an overall theme. We presented a simple. Remember, everything that comes across the airwaves here over BBS Radio is based on simplicity, because I'm a very simple person, and that's why people get along with me so well. Simplicity always works the best, and the answers are always right in front of us. So we talked about empowerment. It takes hard work to become empowered, right? It takes a lifetime to get build a reputation of quality and substance and all. It takes a blinking of an eye to lose it, right? Remember, what we do good, no one remembers. What we do bad, no one forgets. We talked about solving the health care concern that we still have. As many kids who are hungry are just more who don't have health insurance and go to sleep wondering what's going to happen if they get sick and need medicine. And we talked about the national lottery to pay for health care, the two-year health lottery. We talked about our veterans a little bit, and not as much as I will in future broadcasts, but the veterans, the reason, if you love your freedom, thank a veteran, even if you're against everything. Thank someone who served the military. Not this cliche, thank you for your service. I thank you for your service. We thank you for your service. That's been commercialized down our throats, sort of like those other modern-day cliches, such as the next level. Amazing. Count how many times you hear the word amazing. Isn't it amazing? That's amazing. You know, the Food Network's amazing with all the glop they throw at you. Everything's amazing. And, of course, the biggie, two biggies, thank you very much, have a nice day, which was born, I guess, when I was a kid. And I used it because I worked in retail serving customers and was always, thank you very much, have a nice day. I ad nauseum. I'm sick of it. I try not to use it, and I try to come up with something a little bit more creative or palatable. And, of course, the big one now in today's world is at the end of the day. Now, what I just said, those four so-called overused and worn-out cliches, you will never hear me say again. And if I do, please let me know, and I'll retract it. I don't want to use them. They're overdone. They're cooked. They're fried. They should be thrown out with the garbage or down the garbage disposal. Get rid of them in the landfills or something. We talked about empowerment again. We talked about kids and play and the value of play and how much they need play and not another class. Get them outside. We talked about pickup ball, playing sports for adults, grown-ups, parents, whoever is out there. There used to be, in Florida, a senior circuit softball league. These guys were 80, 90 years old, still out there, still doing it, right? We talked about ethics or the lack thereof. And tonight we want to sort of talk about leadership and things like, because that's one of the big three as to how and why societies fall and crumble. And our leadership really has questions, whether it's our leaders that live in Washington, D.C., or you're in your town or your county, your community. Not just that leadership, but leadership everywhere. Parenting is leadership, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of it. We don't. We have a lot of good of parenting, but we have a lot of problems there too, because there's no book that teaches you how to be a parent. There's no book that says, this is what you do. There's books to tell you what you do when you're going to have a baby, and there's books to tell you how to decorate the room and safeguard your house and all. But when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of having that baby in your arms, in your home, under your responsibility and care, there's very little you can do, right? I remember the first time I changed a diaper, it was 3 in the morning, and the stuff was green. And I yelled out to my wife, it's green. What did you do, eat spinach? You know, she was nursing. And I called the doctor the next morning, and everything was fine. Because I was stupid, right? I had no common sense. And I don't know why we don't do that. Animals care for their young better than we do as people. Unfortunately, they let them go. We hold on to them till they're 18 or 20 or whatever, because I guess we don't trust in the environment out there. But let's get back to some leadership. Leadership, we hope, is based on truth. In today's world, there used to be a couple. I'm going way back. I'm going to date myself, so anybody probably under 60 out there or 50 might remember. There were a couple of shows called Who Do You Trust? And the other was To Tell the Truth. And in today's world, I don't know who you can trust. We have people out there who are thrown in our face all over the media and in the news and so forth, and we turn around and, boy, they're falling like flies, and I don't understand why. What happens to someone when they get into a position of leadership, authority, power, and influence? Do they lose all moral fiber? Do they lose any values that they have? Or are they living a lie and just want to play the game to get in that position so that maybe they can collect a pension, have benefits the rest of their life that we pay for, and retire early and just do the other things? So many leaders have fallen into inappropriate behaviors. Whether I shouldn't say they're inappropriate. They're not. What are you doing? You're supposed to be leading people, not taking care of your personal needs. You can do that on your own time and with your own money, right? But people get into positions of power, influence, and I think it goes to their head. I remember when I was in the military, all a bunch of regular guys, and a couple of guys were always picked. I forget if it was basic training or in technical school to learn our trade or skill. They were given a rope that they wore around their shoulder. There was a red rope and a yellow rope. And it just meant they had a little status, a little authority, a little bit of power. And most of the guys were cool with it. You know, some were a little bashful with it. Some were proud of it. They were all proud of it. But some really went over the top, and they became almost like masters of their domain, yelling, screaming, hollering at people. Who were yesterday, the day before, they were sitting on the floor cleaning toilets and shining shoes with. So they got a little bit of power and went right to their head. And some went on and maintained it, and others lost that privilege and that right to wear that rope, which was really a badge of honor and respect that superiors thought enough of you to select you as a leader or so forth. I didn't come close. I didn't even get a thread. So don't think of me as a rope out there, a leader in that capacity. But leaders should lead, hopefully will lead, by leading and directing and inspiring and motivating and guiding and by example. Leaders have to be visible and accessible, not hiding behind their door, closed in front of their screen, emailing and texting and Skyping or whatever, Facebooking. Orders all over their domain, their world that they supposedly control and manage, they got to be out there with the people. There was a case where a leader of an airline corporation, one of the planes just was stranded on the runway or the tarmac for hours, multiple hours. This must have been 10 or 15 years ago, I guess. I really can't remember. And they did nothing for the people. And the leader of the company was on the TV next day wearing sort of like jeans with penny loafers and no socks and one of those sweaters wrapped around the front, tied in the front of his chest, with a sort of arrogant attitude and not making good from what was made known to me and the general public And if I'm CEO, or if I'm leader of that company, I'm out at that tarmac. I'm on the flight line, and I'm giving those people whatever they need at the time to satisfy their requirements, whether it's a meal, a limo to a hotel room, a meal for the next day, transportation home, and some future free airline tickets so that they can use, so that they'll retain customers, customer service. But this person didn't. And shortly thereafter, he was out, right? And I don't remember the exact details of it, nor will I ever know the exact details of it, because like in most cases, we just don't get the truth all the time. But the reality is you had people in distress, people in need, and this stuff happens periodically in the airplanes. And that's a difficult business in its own right. And I make no statement that I could ever do anything about it, but I know how to take care of people because I'm one of them. Remember, simple works best. So a meet and greet, a handshake, etc., would have been nice. But again, there was some arrogance and standoffishness and, oh, well, I'm sorry, and then walk away. So leaders leading by that, with their motivating, inspiring, guiding, and directing, and so forth, and leading by example, that's true leadership. I had coaches that I'd have done anything for. Whatever they asked, I would have done. Legal, of course, playing sports. I just love these guys. They love what they were doing, and they were true inspirations on the sideline. They knew the game, and they knew how to motivate and lead people. They knew how to manage people and put them in the right position to maximize their abilities. No one went up there with fear. And anyone who is leading by fear, intimidation, bullying, threatening, force, and delivering ultimatums is not a leader. There's no way that person is a leader. They're one of those people who somehow got into a position of leadership and don't know how to do it. I think they're scared of themselves. And so they try to put fear in everybody else to keep them away and standoffish. And it's probably true as to what goes on in their personal life as well. They probably use the same things with their spouse and kids and anybody else, neighbors and so forth, because that's how they are. And you know, you can't expect someone to lead and have the people he's leading be content with that type of leadership, because people will change. Even in today's economy, where there's not opportunities all over the place like years ago, people will find ways to either cope or leave. And that's the attitude that arrogance has, right? You can do it my way or no way, and you can go find someplace else to peddle your wares and do your work. So leadership has to be someone who is approachable, open to communication, gets back to people when they call, not just take a message, I'll get back to you sometime, right? That's what leaders do. That's what we expect of leaders, not to go run and hide. And we expect our leaders, we hope that they are truthful and honest and are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But if when you look at the bombardment of media that's out there, we're finding every day there's some other form of leader that is just failing miserably. And the thing I can't understand about leader, how can anyone lead a country with millions of people, and have them annihilated, wiped out, exiled from their homes, just leaving their home motherland country, forced to live in squalor, hungry, sick, ill, whatever you want to call it, tired, scared, afraid, living in fear. Is that what leaders do? I question them, and I question why are they doing it? Why do they need to do that? And there's examples of them all over the world. And it just boggles the mind, and it should get people thinking and say, how can this person leading have hundreds of thousands of people killed? What is he afraid of? What's going on? How many people have to die in the name of religion across the world for the wake-up call to go out and say, hey, wait a minute. What's going on here? What are we fighting about? You know, when you break it down, sitting in some place and two people arguing or bickering and then arguing and then rising to conflict, you got to say, when you break it down and have someone come in and say, listen, man, what's going on in your world? Why are you so angry? And most of the time you find out it has nothing to do with the other person. There's something going on in their own life that they're not dealing with. They're running from, and we're doing the big finger-pointing blame game, that it's never my fault. In today's world, it's never everybody's fault. I didn't do it. You know, people are in there for doing things that they know they did, and they're still denying it. Well, denial is, I think, the largest river in the world, isn't it? In some place over in, not around here in America. I'm not that good a geography student, and I should be. Sorry about that. But denial is a river and not something you fall back on to save yourself, to save face, to say, wow, it's not me. I didn't do it. And we're tired of excuses because that's all they are excuses. Right? We talked about excuses explain failure. Reasons define success. Right? Reasons define success because when you win, life is good. And when you lose, the first thing you want to do is blame something or someone else as opposed to learning from that experience and moving on, growing, adjusting, and then winning the next time in whatever it is. That's living a life of truth, not living a lie and living with making people fear you and intimidate them and scare them and threaten them and bullying. By the way, there's an interesting word, bullying. Bullying goes back for a long time. And it's not restricted or limited just to the stuff that goes on in schools. Because when you break it down, the bully is the weakest one. If you challenge a bully, you go face to face. And the one thing the bully hates is silence, no reaction. That's a very big weapon. And as young people, it's hard to keep silent and quiet because you want to stand up for yourself. And you should. But the reality is the bully is the weakest one. The bully makes people feel lower than they do. The bully is under the lowest rung on the ladder. That's where they exist. And they feel so bad about their world, their life, their way they're doing things, their condition, that they want you to feel worse than they do. So they bully you. Aha, I'm not the bottom of the barrel. I'm not lower than whale's dung in the ocean. Well, you are. And you're using those bully tactics. And you're weak. Right? And once the world knows that the bully's the weak one, whether it's physical, verbal, combination of the both, then we're better off place to deal with them. But the bully needs somebody to tell him that. Say, hey, man, that's not what it's about. You don't have to do that to get your way or get what you want. There's better ways to do that. You don't have to use fear and intimidation and all the other things. And unfortunately, a lot of bullies become leaders. They just like fall into it. I don't know how it happens. I really don't. I've been around long enough to see leaders who shouldn't be there. They absolutely shouldn't be in that position. But they got there. How, I don't know. Whether it was by default, no one else wanted it. Whether it was someone's cousin's, brother's, uncle's, nephew that put him in there. And they navigate towards those things. Somehow they're steered that way. And it's just a sad statement because in the end, as in schools, younger age happens in middle school. I'm sure it happens in elementary school because everything else does in the world. Starts somewhere. The bully seems to show his face and rear its ugly head and makes life miserable for those around. How many times have you been sitting in maybe a restaurant and there's a loud person and you got a neighbor or someone who's just being very abusive and harsh towards the environment? Maybe you're at a parade or something. And as soon as a person leaves the room, everybody goes, wow, glad he's gone or she's gone. Couldn't take that anymore. What's with that person? You know, when they come back, the bully comes back in the room and everybody dummies up. They don't say anything to them. Usually someone will after a while. But until you confront the bully to make it known to them that that's what they're doing, they're still going to do it. And unfortunately, they get away with it. And it's sad because we need leaders in the world. There's a lot of good folks out there who are doing a lot of good things. We never hear from them, very rarely. Remember, what we do good, no one remembers. What we do bad, no one forgets. And the bully does a lot of bad things, upsets a lot of people, you know, on his way to the top or her way to the top. And unfortunately, they forget that, you know, coming down is faster than going up. If you've ever played King of the Hill when you were a kid. So leaders, we have them. There's thousands of words and books written about leadership. It's almost like spirituality. I've heard seminars, listened to lectures, read a few books about it. I still don't know what the heck it is. Right? Spirituality. I define it as a religion without rules, or a religion with rules, or religion without rules, rules that you make up for yourself to make you happy and find peace in yourself and in the world. That might be a spiritual thing. You know, a lot of people find that in nature. It's a great thing. Nature is powerful. Don't mess with nature. We're messing with nature, and we're going to lose. Every time you mess with nature, nature wins. That's how strong the universe is. And we think we know what we're doing. We do have a lot of brilliant people, scientists and engineers and so forth, who study these things. But in the end, if nature wants it done, it's going to happen. Whether it's an earthquake, a volcano, a storm, you know, wind and rain and lightning and thunder, there's nothing you can do about that. If you think you can beat nature, take a broom, go down to the ocean, and try to sweep away a wave that's coming in, even a little one. Can't do it. Nature will knock you out every time. Knock you down, jack you up, and take you out. Don't mess with nature. So anyway, that's a little bit on leadership. If there's any leaders out there who have anything to say, we're always welcome for comments here. You can call in to BBS Radio at 888-627-6008, or you can send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. A little tidbit to make it a little light here, because I got a little off on leadership and so forth. A tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. The word tips, T-I-P-S. I don't know if I covered this before, but I want to do it again because it bothers me how some people I've known in the past, and maybe you did too, almost brag that they don't leave a tip, or they leave a short tip, or whatever it is, about a tip for receiving service. Whether it's good or bad, you should leave something, right? Because that's how those folks make a living. I learned it as a paperboy. Many years ago, I learned many valuable life lessons as a paperboy, and we'll get into that as well. As a paperboy, with my brother, we built that business, and we got a large amount of Christmas tips and got visits from the director of the area where we served, and we took those customers and turned them into snow shoveling customers. Did their walks, their back patio, driveways if they had them, cleaned off their cars if they had a car, washed their cars in the warmer months if they had a car, mowed their lawns in the summer. Right? Just from being paper boys, we had four businesses. We weren't entrepreneurs. We were just hardworking kids who liked the buck. Grew up in Philly, and if you wanted a hoagie or a cheesesteak and play some pinball, you needed some money. Didn't always want to go to mom and dad. Wanted a little bit of independence, some empowerment, and it's there for everybody. Go out, get your hands dirty, and make a few bucks. You feel better. It's almost like when you clean your living area and you vacuum and you dust and you wash the mirrors or windows, you take out the trash, you make the bed with clean sheets, all in the morning. You go out all day, you're working, you're playing, you're socializing, you come home, you walk in, it's fresh, it's neat, it's clean, and you did it. You feel good about yourself. And isn't that what we want to do? We want to feel good about ourselves without artificial influence. And that's how you do it, by doing the little things in life. You feel good about yourself when you help somebody else out, whatever you do. Right, take in the groceries, help them across this, whatever you do, open the door for them. That's a simple gesture, right? You make somebody feel good about themselves, and you feel good about yourselves. And guess what? Someone else feels good about you. Right? Remember, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. I tell it to kids all the time. That's why internships are so important, and work is so important, and connections or relationships are important, because you don't know who's going to be looking for someone with your skill set, your abilities, your personality, what you bring. You can know a million people, and they might not have anything for you. But the one person who knows you, however they know you, says, wow, you know, I need somebody. I'm going to call that guy or that girl right there, because I've heard about them. I've seen a little bit about them. I'm going to find out more about them, right? So it's not who you know. It's who knows you. So let's get back to TIPS. TIPS is an acronym. It's an acronym. Now, what's an acronym? An acronym is a word that's made up by using the first letter of several words put together. So TIPS is an acronym. What's it an acronym for? To ensure proper service. To ensure proper service. Way back, the tip, let's say you're going to a restaurant, there's six people, a family, and whoever sat at the head of the table usually paid the bill. The server would go to that person and introduce themselves and say hello and blah, 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 and all this stuff and make all those social contacts. Well, if the head of the family or the head of the group wanted good service, and it was, let's say, dinner, where the average dinner might be $8 or $10 or $12 per person, and calculate quickly in your head, come up with a percentage, and you would give the server the tip right there to ensure proper service. So if you have six people for dinner, dinners are 10 bucks a piece, that's 90 bucks. Average, let's say the bill comes to 110 with desserts or appetizers, whatever it is. So you're expecting maybe a $20 or $25, $30 tip. If you get that, you're going to give good service. Oh, can I bring you more bread? Let me fill your water. I'll take that back for you, no problem. Whatever it is. The kids, you have kids, we'll get them the crayons and the sippy cups and all that stuff. If the tip for that type scenario is like $3, what kind of service are you going to get? Your food ain't coming out till tomorrow. It's going to be cold, stale, and moldy. And you ain't going to want to, and you ain't going to go back there. Remember, everything's, there's no color in the world. There's no blacks or whites or reds or yellows or green. We're all green, I should say. We're all green. That's the neutral color. Of course, some of us are a little lighter green, some are darker green. It doesn't matter. We're all green. The value and the purpose of the mighty dollar is what we go for. And so the better the tip, the better the service. The lesser the tip or the worse the tip, of course, you're not going to get good service. Now, of course, everybody has examples of great service, great tip. Everybody has examples of lousy service, no tip, or little tip, or an insulting tip, or whatever. And you can go on and on. The reality is, tips means to ensure proper service. The better your service in anything, the better the tip. And be careful out there, though. Some restaurants calculated into the bill, which happened to us one time. We were out, and my kids always like to look at the bill to try to figure out the tip and so forth. And they were reading down the bill, and they saw a line item that said tip. And it was already in the bill, and we were calculating, they were calculating how to add the tip, so we could have double tipped. So there are people out there who try to do that, and they'll deny it because, remember, the denial is bigger than anything else. And so be careful with your tips. Those who don't tip, guarantee, never work for tips, right? Those who don't tip or leave minimal tips or don't believe in it, whatever it is, had never worked for tips. They don't know what it's like to provide customer service, right? Customer service in business, what else is there? The product is the product is the product. There's many salespeople out there. Why do you go to a store? Oh, the service is great. I can buy this anywhere, but I go here because the service is so great. Absolutely. Because the credo in service and business is what? Without customers to service, you have no business. Without customers to service, you have no business. Those four enterprises my brother and I had many years ago as kids helped pay for a lot of things for us and helped the family. It was all born out of one thing. We went from paper boys to cutting lawns, which today is called landscaping. I didn't know that word back then. We cut the lawns. We cut the shrubs, the bushes, trimmed the trees, raked. Did the flower beds, pulled out shrubs, planted shrubs, whatever it was. It was cutting grass, and we made money. So it went from paperboy to cutting grass to shoveling snow to washing cars, and everybody walked their own dog back then. There weren't that many, so we never did that. But the reality is you learn a lot of life lessons. Just as kids learn life lessons by working, every kid should work in a service-oriented business, whether it's the supermarket, the ice cream store, a restaurant. Get out there. See what's out there. Find out what the people are about. Learn about life. Throw away the book because you ain't going to learn about life from a book, a movie, a documentary, or anything like that. You're going to learn about life by living it and living it to the fullest on your terms, becoming what? Empowered. That's what we want. We want you to become empowered so that you can do for yourself and not be dependent on others for most things. Well, everybody's dependent on someone else for many things. But to become empowered, to live on your own, to support yourself, to give back to the community, to raise awareness of you and the people in your world, to do the right thing. Remember, no one ever went wrong doing the right thing. No one ever went wrong doing the right thing. So become empowered, become a leader, and be successful. What more do you want? How much? And play. Don't forget play. You got to have the value of play in there, because without play, you're empty. Always, always, always retain a micro percentage of your life for silliness, goofiness, play, fun, and humor, whatever it is. Laugh at yourself. Paint your face. Splash in a pool. Go on a Tarzan swing at the lake. Right? Belly flop in a pool. Ride a bike. Go for a hike. Be silly. Right? And that keeps you young. Right? It keeps you young. Young in spirit, young in heart, young in attitude, young in life. Do things that everybody says, no, you can't do that, because there's more of the can'ts than the cans. Right? And don't worry about the can'ts. They're all the people telling you nothing's going to happen if you do it anyway, so why do it? They're never going to become empowered. And that's okay. Leaves more room for you. Right? Leaves more room for you. So that's a tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. The word tips, to ensure proper service. One thing that's bothering me, it was in the news again, is the situation at Penn State. I know it's part of it's over, and there's still much more to be resolved. And just sad, no winners anywhere. It's just a terrible situation. The problem I have with the whole issue up there is that why do you punish kids today and last year for things that happened before they were born or when they were little babies? Why do you punish today's generation for something that happened almost a generation ago? It's like when you get a little puppy and you're trying to house train him, or paper train him, we used to call it, and you put the newspaper down and they don't do their business on it, they miss. So you're supposed to take the puppy over to where he did it, put his nose in it and say no or bad or whatever you do, and then point him to the paper, take him over there. This is what, that kind of stuff. I don't know if people still do that. It's probably abusive anyway in today's world. But if you don't do anything when it happens and you wait a day, a week, a month, that dog's not going to know anything. You know what you're doing. You look like you're crazy. Like when you give a kid a timeout. Go to your room. Okay, go to your room. And you don't go up there for an hour. You don't go up there until 2 hours. You're on the phone. You're reading the book. You're talking to the neighbors. You forgot about your kid who's up there wondering, what the heck am I doing in my room? So you go in your, you're supposed to go in the room within a few minutes. I think. I'm no head jockey. I'm not a child psychoanalyst, babble, whatever it is. But I think you're supposed to go in there relatively soon, within a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, and say, do you know why you were sent to your room? And the kid will say, yeah, or no, or they'll say, yeah. Why? Well, because I threw my Barney doll at my sister, and he said, that's right. And in this house, in our family, in our home, filled with love, we don't throw our Barney doll or anything at our sisters or anyone. And the kid learns. All right, you pick up, you give a little hug, go downstairs, and you have a cookie, and you go outside and play. Right? Take the kid out to play. He'll have fun, or she'll have fun. Right? And everybody needs a timeout once in a while. That's why there's vacations. That's why there's weekends, right? That's why there's time off. That's why there's personal days or sick days or whatever day you take. Lie, cheat, and steal days, right? Just to get away from it and to have a timeout from what's going on in your world, because you're working for a lousy leader, right? I'm sure there's a million stories out there of people working for a boss who's absolutely put them right up against the wall and they can't take it anymore. And every day is another confrontation where you need a timeout. You have to go to your room. You got to get away from it, right? You can't avoid it because it's in your face. So just as you try to teach the dog to do his business on the paper, you teach the kid at the right time of why they did something wrong, right? So the timeout is a good thing. Vacations are good things. I don't know where I was going with that. It just happened to fall in, and I wanted to talk about it because the Penn State thing is bothering me. Why do they sanction these kids today, prevent them from playing in postseason tournaments or bowl games or whatever they call it? Why what did they do? They didn't do anything. Their families, they didn't even know about it. Hopefully they didn't know about it. And the ones who did know about it are now going to expend millions of dollars in defending their word and denying everything, and regardless of guilt or innocence, what, it's not, and it's tragic for the victims, as always it is. They never survived this stuff. I don't know how they go on, how they live their life, right? But there's too much else involved with this situation, more than we'll ever know, because, as we know, truth sometimes doesn't come out for decades and decades and decades until much later. And that's sad. But the reality is, why punish kids today for something happened way back when? And that's all I'm concerned about. The welfare and the well-being of today's population, as well as the poor victims, right? Well, it's called the criminal justice system, but and there, yes, there's justice for criminals, but what the hell happens to the victims? What do they do with their life? Who's there for them? What kind of help do they get? Where's their offerings, right? Guys coming back from combat with half a body. Yeah, we have the VA. We have resources. But you hear such horror stories all the time. These guys living in like hovels with one light bulb and no flush and toilet. What's going on? Why can't we take care of our veterans? Right? They're the ones. They're the reason we're here. They're fighting for freedom. Whatever the side of the table you're on, if you complain about paying taxes, then get rid of our defense. When a football team or any team wants to build its team, what's it do? It starts with defense. If you can stop the other guy from scoring and getting in your zone, you'll find a way to win. You'll find a way to score. You'll find a way to overcome obstacles. But you got to prevent the other guy from scoring or getting into your zone. So you have defense. And if you're complaining about taxes, which we all do, mainly because a lot of the money gets diverted to places that it never reaches its destination. I have no proof and facts of that. I'm just feeding back what has been broadcast over the many years of listening to things like who can I trust and misappropriation. Two words you want to avoid for not a misappropriation. You want to avoid anytime you hear accounting irregularities, you better take off and get out of town, get your money and go. Because accounting irregularities, something's not right. But who's there for the victim? And speaking of our veterans, there's a website out there. I know it personally because I developed and built it. It's mine. And I want to use it to help veterans. It's www.connectwithveterans.com. www.connectwithveterans.com. What is it? It's another form of nothing like I've been talking about all of these weeks on bbsradio.com. But it is something. It's a place where a veteran can go, or a family member of a veteran can go, and for $25, register that person's name, phone number, email, branch of service, rank, locations where they served in the States, overseas, anywhere in the world, dates and times and places, nicknames, whatever it was. And so it's a registry for people who have military service in their resume to register so they can find each other. It's a locator system. And yeah, there's a $25 fee and a $10 annual renewal fee. Why? Because it takes a few bucks to run the website. And here's the other word. Go along with Next Level and End of the Day and all that crap. Transparency. I'll whisper it. I ain't going to say it. But the reality is I'll open up whatever books I have, and you can see where the money's going to run the website. There's monthly fees, annual fees, and the cost to build it. And I want to try to recoup that, and that's not a bad thing. I am not a 501(c) nonprofit. I'm just a guy working in the beautiful basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawa Station trying to do good for veterans. So the $25 registration fee, the $10 renewal fee, some of it's going to pay for the website over time. You know, we'll take a little bit out to help pay for past costs. But the rest of the money, hear me loud and clear, the rest of the money will be in an account that I control, and we find people, deserving veterans, who need a help, who need a boost, a helping hand, a few bucks. Maybe it's braces for the kid, a car repair, some rent money, some food money, something to get them over a hump without all the paperwork, without a bureaucracy of investigation and proof and all this stuff. We'll know from the heart. You can talk to a person for 5 minutes and know in their heart, yeah, there's cons and there's scammers and there's bullies out there who are going to try to get over on you. And we'll probably get taken a little bit. But overall, with a legitimate purpose in this venture, www.connectwithveterans.com is two purpose. One is to connect people, military people, with their past. I'm trying to find guys. 40 years ago, I was in the service. Found a couple, right? not through my website yet, through other source, but the other sources I found very difficult and cumbersome. Mine is simple. Remember, simple works best. That's why people get along with me, because I'm so simple. And it's twofold, just like the national health care. It provides health care for everybody and a chance to have some money come your way if you have some winning numbers in the national health care lottery. So connectwithveterans.com is a similar thing. We're going to raise money, and we're going to give it back to the people who need it. And there's many out there who have enough to sustain themselves, but many more who don't. And I'll tell you what, getting together with your buddies from the past, unless you've experienced it, there's nothing like it in the world. It takes you back to a time in your life of youth, almost of innocence, of pride, of accomplishment, of camaraderie, sort of like playing pickup ball with the guys at the park. Right? Nothing wrong with that. That's therapy beyond therapy. Well, these guys who are coming back and they're having all kinds of problems and been back for many years, instead of being portrayed as tower snipers as they were in the 70s and 80s after the Vietnam War, they're coming back and we're more aware of their issues, problems, and concerns. Maybe instead of all the therapy and all the PTSD medicine that they take or don't take, or groups they go to, or they're not available, they're not helpful. Maybe just a phone call, a Skype face-to-face, a meeting face-to-face. Hell, we'll fly. If there's money, we'll take a guy from California and bring him east, or vice versa, to meet up for a weekend with his buddy. When the money's there, we'll do that. And we're not out there to do it for publicity or notoriety or fame. There's enough people seeking that. Just look at the award shows. I'm not about that. We're about help man helping man help themselves. And everybody needs a boost every once in a while. Nobody can go through life without that. And the struggling and the obstacles that veterans, whether they're returning recently or served in World War I or II or Korea or Vietnam or Desert Storm or wherever they serve, they need help. Some of them are afraid to admit it. Some of them would rather not seek it out because of inconvenience. The reason this was born is because I met three guys on a highway stop at a rest stop on our way to a soccer tournament for our son. And we pulled off and the veterans were giving out coffee, donuts, and hot dogs and cookies. I think it was Memorial Day weekend, a lot of traveling on the road, and they wanted to do something nice. It was a local VA. I talked to these three guys individually, right? By themselves, as them and I. I said, you taking meds? Well, yeah. You go, do they have groups for you? Nah, they're not. Sometimes they come, they don't go. I said, what's the best medicine for you? He said, the best medicine? To be with my buddies, to talk to them, to see them, to embrace them, to have lunch with them, to, go back over old times with them. Not to relive the past, but to relive the experience of being together, surviving. Right? Surviving, which is what we're all doing every day. We're trying to survive to make it to another day. Right? But when you're dependent on things that aren't really helping you and there's no other way to do it, then that's what you do, or you do nothing and suffer and struggle. And it's just a downward spiral. So that's my website. I pitched it too much tonight. I didn't want to get into it. I just want people to sign up, reach out to veterans and their families to have them sign up. It's www.connectwithveterans.com. All right. We're coming down to the end, and I'm not going to forget this week, right? I'm not going to forget what I started out to do an hour ago when I talked about Bobby's mother, right? This week's Brainbuster Riddle, et cetera, was what goes up when the rain comes down? Right, and everybody's saying, "Oh, what goes up in the rain? The temperature, the water. Well, that evaporates. I don't know what goes up when the rain comes down." Simple answer, right in front of you. It's called the umbrella, because everybody has them. Usually, they keep the car dry, or the umbrella stand in your house dry. So, the umbrella is what goes up when the rain comes down. All right, so to recap, we're about empowerment here. We're about being a little silly and goofy. We're about being serious when you have to be serious. Tonight we talked about leadership. I didn't get to the topic I wanted to, the second topic. I guess I get carried away and go off on all these tangents. But next week I hope to address recovery, because there's a lot of people out there in recovery. And remember, there's only two kinds of people, those in recovery and those in prevention. And we'll talk about that at length next week. So in closing, I just want to say thanks for listening. If you have to, if you would like to call the radio station, BBS Radio, 888-627-6008. Radio is bbsradio.com. My name is Marty Ford. The name of the show is You Bout Ready. Click on it. You can go back to archive shows. It's free to listen to them. And I will close by saying, power up your power, because the power is in you.